Support for our podcast comes from Cancer Treatment Centers of America, offering precision cancer treatment guided by advanced genomic testing through its new Centers for Advanced Individual Medicine. Advanced genomic testing may reveal treatment options that were not considered previously. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Support for this podcast comes from The Message. Have you heard The Message? Nikki Tomlin, a PhD in linguistics from the University of Chicago, and a team of cryptologists at a research think tank called Cypher are working on deciphering an alien message from over 70 years ago. Don't miss a second of this new modern-day War of the Worlds podcast from GE Podcast Theater and Panoply called The Message. This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We hope you all had a peaceful and thanks-filled holiday. We're glad you're with us today. And just as the end of November means family get-togethers, crazy sales, and the changeover from pumpkin spice season to peppermint and gingerbread season, it also means a Science Friday tradition. Highlights from this year's Ig Nobel Award ceremony.
The ceremony has not officially started yet. It starts when I say, and I'm not saying it yet. I will count down from 5 to 0. Get set. T-5, 4, 3, 2. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Welcome to the 25th First Annual Ig Nobel Prize Ceremony.
The awards are handed out each year by the editors of the Science Humor magazine, The Annals of Improbable Research, for work in science that first makes you laugh, and then it makes you think. So grab a bit of leftover pie, if there is any, and let us whisk you away through the magic of sound to Harvard Sanders Theater, where the dignitaries and ignitaries are taking the stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, and other life forms, welcome to the 25th First Annual Ig Nobel Prize Ceremony. And now, Professor Jean Berko Gleason and Dr. William Hostin will deliver the traditional Ig Nobel welcome speech.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, literati, glitterati, pseudo-intellectuals, quasi-pseudo-intellectuals, and the rest of you, may I introduce our Master of Ceremonies, the editor of the Annals of Improbable Research, Chief Airhead, Mark Abrams.
Good evening. We are gathered here tonight to honor some remarkable individuals and groups. Every winner has done something that first makes people laugh and then think. The Ig Nobel Prize ceremony is produced by the Science Humor magazine, The Annals of Improbable Research, and proudly co-sponsored by the Harvard Radcliffe Society of Physics Students and the Harvard Radcliffe Science Fiction Association, and by the book This Is Improbable Too, ISBN 978-1780743615. The editors of the Annals of Improbable Research have chosen a theme for this year's ceremony. That theme is life. Tonight, 10 prizes will be given. The achievements speak for themselves all too clearly. The prizes will be physically presented to the winners by Nobel laureates. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Nobel laureates. A 1986 Nobel laureate in chemistry, Dudley Hirschbach. A 2007 Nobel laureate in economics, Eric Maskin. A 2009 Nobel laureate in physiology or medicine, Carol Greider. A 2009 Nobel laureate in physiology or medicine, Jack Szostak. A 2004 Nobel laureate in physics, Frank Wilczek. A 1990 Nobel laureate in physics, Jerome Friedman, as usual, was prevented from joining us. He appears now via the magic of video.
Congratulations. I hope you are enjoying this as much as I am.
Thank you, Professor Friedman.
The awards feature a bunch of officials to make sure things run smoothly. You can hear them sometimes, like an official referee and timer, a special V-chip monitor designed to block offensive content, and of course there is Miss Sweetie Pooh, an 8-year-old girl who ever so sweetly interrupts when speeches run on too long. I'm sure you will hear her. And this year for the Ig Nobel's 25th First Annual Awards, an anniversary reunion of Miss Sweetie Pooh's.
A bit of history about that. Miss Sweetie Pooh was invented in 1999. Since then, the role of Miss Sweetie Pooh has been performed by a succession of tough-minded, really cute 8-year-old girls. Most of the past Miss Sweetie Pooh's have been kind enough to join us for this 25th first annual Ig Nobel Prize ceremony. Please welcome the very first Miss Sweetie Pooh. It's my honor to welcome back Natasha Rosenberg.
Good evening, I'm Natasha Rosenberg, the very first Miss Sweetie Pooh. Those 3 years were the absolute highlight of my life. It's all been downhill from there. Sometimes when I'm at a patient's bedside or hiking mountains, I think back on those Hallison years of yore, and I rejoice that I had the opportunity to be so rude
Please
to all of those
stop.
Brilliant people.
I'm
just
bored.
Get in there and just
Please
and just
stop.
And just I guess is my cue to go.
I'm bored.
Hello, my name is Sylvia. I am the second Miss Sweetie Pooh. The first was actually my sister. Family tradition, right? Funny story, it actually skipped our middle sister, because she was as tall as the oldest, Natasha. And so I actually inherited it,
please
and she never
stop.
Got to, which is sort of sad if you think about it.
Please stop. I'm bored.
Okay.
So I'm Tabitha. I wasn't really the third, but I'm the third here, Miss Sweetie Pooh. And I was Miss Sweetie Pooh in 2007 and 2008. I never realized how annoying
Please
it really was
stop.
Until
I'm
looking back at it
bored.
Now, how annoying I really
Please
was.
Stop. Thank you.
Hello? My name is Isabel, and I'm the fourth Miss Sweetie Pooh in here. And So I was there in 2009 and 2010, and I was involved with the stuffed cow,
Please
if anyone
stop.
Remembers.
I'm bored.
And
Please
as
stop.
You can see, I was very
I'm
frustrating.
Bored.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Laraz. I was the fifth Sweetie Pooh that is here tonight. I was there back in 2011, and as you can imagine,
stop.
It was fun for an 8-something-year-old to
Please
express her
stop.
Annoyedness.
Hi, my name is Sharada. I was Miss Sweetie Pooh in 2012 and 13, and I got two stuffed plush onions, and they were really cute, but they didn't come to any use.
Thank you, Miss Sweetie Pooh. Thank you. In 1996, Dawn Featherstone was awarded an Ig Nobel Prize for creating the plastic pink flamingo. This photo shows Dawn in a characteristic moment. There's some very sad news. Several months ago, Dawn Featherstone died after a long illness. Dawn and his wife, Nancy, loved returning here to the Ig Nobel ceremony almost every year. Nancy Featherstone has kindly joined us tonight. Nancy? Some other Ig Nobel winners from previous years have returned to join us. They're all still full of life. And they're going to take a bow, and they're also here to help honor the new Ig Nobel Prize winners. Would you please welcome a 2008 Ig Nobel Chemistry Prize winner who tested whether Coca-Cola is an effective spermicide, Dr. Deborah Anderson. Please welcome back a 2007 Ig Nobel Medicine Prize winner who co-authored the British Medical Journal study Sword Swallowing and Its Side Effects, Dan Meyer. And please welcome the winner of the 2005 Ig Nobel Prize for Nutrition, a man who has photographed and retrospectively analyzed every meal he has consumed during the past 44 years and counting, Dr. Nakamats. Okay. As you may know, this is a bittersweet moment. Dr. Nakamats has been diagnosed with an illness, a form of cancer. His doctors predict that Dr. Nakamats has only a few months left of life. Odd response there. Dr. Nakamats, being Dr. Nakamats, has written a special song. He will sing for you his swan song. Please welcome, possibly the greatest human on earth, Dr. Nakamats.
Even cancer face very bad, even cancer is the even by your entry, I don't afraid, never give up.
Coming up, more highlights from this year's 25th First Annual Ig Nobel Awards. Stay with us.
To save the people of the world.
Support for this podcast comes from Cancer Treatment Centers of America, offering precision cancer treatment guided by advanced genomic testing through its new Centers for Advanced Individual Medicine. Every cancer, like every patient, is different. Advanced genomic testing can help our doctors understand each patient's cancer at the molecular level and may reveal treatment options that were not considered previously. Learn more about the promise of precision cancer treatment at cancercenter.com.
This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto, and if you're just joining us, we're playing highlights from this year's Ig Nobel Awards ceremony. Research that first makes you laugh, then makes you think. It was recorded in September of this year at Harvard Sanders Theater. Here's Ig Nobel Master of Ceremonies, Mark Abrams.
Okay, let's get it over with. Ladies and gentlemen, the awarding of the 2015 Ig Nobel Prizes. We're giving out 10 prizes. The winners come from many nations on 6 continents. This year's winners have truly earned their prizes. Karen?
Yes.
Karen, would you tell us what the winners have won?
Each winner this year will receive an Ig Nobel Prize.
What else?
A piece of paper saying they've won an Ig Nobel Prize. It's actually been signed by several Nobel laureates.
Do they get any money?
$10 trillion.
$10 trillion?
$10 trillion!
U.S. dollars?
No. Zimbabwean dollars. A Zimbabwean $10 trillion bill.
That's all?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. How nice. Thank you, Karen. Ladies and gentlemen, this, yeah, this is the coveted Ig Nobel Prize. This year's prize is a potted plant without the plant and with the atomic symbols for carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen. The Chemistry Prize. The Ig Nobel Prize for Chemistry this year is awarded to Callum Ormond and Colin Raston of Australia and Tom Yuen, Stefan Kudlicek, Samiran Kuncha, Joshua N. Smith, William A. Brown, Caitlin Pugliese, Tivoli Olson, Miriam Iftikhar, and Greg Weiss of the USA for inventing a chemical recipe to partially unboil an egg.
Thank you for this high honor and beautiful, attractive ornament that I'm going to cherish in my office. So we have a large number of people to thank, and I also want to tell you just a little bit about what we did. Unfortunately, on the way over here, I mixed up my eggs. I had a raw egg and I had a boiled egg, but I poked around in the labs of Harvard and I found a high-tech device that will allow us to distinguish the raw egg from the boiled egg, and so here we go. This one has folded protein, unfolded, folded, unfolded. We invented a way of converting the unfolded protein over here to folded using mechanical energy, not chemical energy, not thermal energy. And for this, I'm really grateful for the inventor of the Vortex Fluid Device, Colin Raston, and a team on two continents whose names you just heard, so I won't repeat them. But we're excited about applying this to lots of other proteins that come out looking like this when they really should look beautiful like this. Thank you so much again for this high honor.
The Physics Prize. The Ig Nobel Prize for Physics is awarded to Patricia Yang of the USA and Taiwan, David Hu of the USA and Taiwan, and Jonathan Pham and Jerome Chu of the USA for testing the biological principle that nearly all mammals empty their bladders in about 21 seconds, plus or minus 13 seconds.
When you go to the bathroom, do you bring a stopwatch? When you see a small dog or a small child urinating, do you count the seconds? Have you ever seen a panda, a goat, or an elephant pee? If you had, you would learn that all animals in the world, above about 3 kilograms, urinate for about the same duration. On average, animals urinate for 21 seconds. We call this the law of urination. How in the world can such big animals urinate for the same duration as such tiny small animals? The answer is gravity. All animals have a pee-pee pipe. Because of gravity, the taller the pipe, the faster the pee. So the next time you're waiting too long for someone to finish using the bathroom, just simply knock on the door and gently remind them.
Please stop!
According to the law of urination,
stop.
You should be done in just 21 seconds. Thank you.
Literature Prize. The Ig Nobel Prize for Literature is awarded to Mark Dingmansa of the Netherlands and the USA, Francisco Torreira of the Netherlands, Belgium and the USA, and Nick J. Enfield of Australia and the Netherlands for discovering that the word, huh, or its equivalent, seems to exist in every human language, and for not being quite sure why. The winners could not attend the ceremony, so they sent us this video acceptance speech. That went by pretty quickly. Could you show that again, please, tech people? Okay. Yeah, thank you. The Management Prize. The Ig Nobel Prize for Management is awarded to Gennaro Bernile of Italy, Singapore, and the USA, Vinit Bhagwat of the USA, and P. Raghavendra Rao of the UK, India, France, Luxembourg, Germany, and Japan for discovering that many business leaders developed in childhood a fondness for risk-taking when they experienced natural disasters such as earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, tsunamis, and wildfires that for them had no dire personal consequences.
So, what's our paper about? I want you to kind of imagine yourself in the position of a child growing up in the Midwest. Tornado season goes around every year. Not a single one touches down near your town. No one's hurt, no one's injured. So you think, you know, risk, not a big deal. So when you become a CEO, you take a lot of risk. On the other hand, a kid in the same state, born in the same year, working for the same company, but in a different year, but the tornado touches down in that boy's state or girl's state, turns out he takes much less risk when they become a CEO relative to the first CEO. So that's pretty much the paper. It's a long-term nonlinear relationship between early life traumatic experiences and later CEO behavior. Sounds complicated. The bottom line is, what doesn't kill you will make you more risk-loving. And put it another way, though, the follow-up question for you guys, does actually getting trauma make these guys more risk-loving? Make these guys becoming CEOs? The answer is, we don't know. So parents, do not try this at home. Do not traumatize your children.
Please stop.
Me too.
Now, get set for something special. The 24/7 lectures. We have invited several of the world's top thinkers to tell us very briefly what they are thinking about. Each 24/7 lecturer will explain her or his subject twice. First, a complete technical description in 24 seconds. And then, after a brief pause, a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. The 24-second time limit will be enforced by our referee, Mr. John Barrett. Mr. Barrett, do you have any advice for our 24/7 lecturers?
Gentlemen, keep it clean.
Now, let's have the first group of 24/7 lecturers. The first 24/7 lecture will be delivered by a professor of evolutionary and behavioral ecology at Tufts University, author of the soon-to-be-published book Silent Sparks, The Wondrous World of Fireflies, Sarah Lewis. Her topic, firefly sex. First, a complete technical description of the subject in 24 seconds. On your mark, and get set, go.
fireflies are beetles in the family Lampyridae that use bioluminescent signals to find mates. Flying males broadcast signals as they search for females who respond to intraspecific variation in male flash timing. Females prefer longer flashes and faster flash rates. Firefly females mate with multiple males, so post-copulatory sexual selection has driven males to invest heavily in nuptial gifts. These are nutritious sperm-containing spermatophores that females use to provision their eggs. Males with larger gifts benefit because they sire more offspring.
And now, a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go.
Female fireflies favor fancy, food-filled flashers.
The next 24/7 lecture will be delivered by the Hermann Feschbach Professor of Physics at MIT, a 2004 Nobel laureate in physics, and author of the book, A Beautiful Question, Finding Nature's Deep Design, Frank Wilczek. His topic, beauty. First, a complete technical description of the subject in 24 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
Beauty is what we experience when the external world stimulates our reward system, causing a release of dopamine we feel as pleasure. Natural selection uses this device to encourage behavior that increases fitness. Sexual partners are beautiful. So are things that make sense.
And now, a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go.
Beauty. We like it when we see it.
In 2001, we at Improbable Research created the Luxuriant Flowing Hair Club for Scientists. Steven Pinker was the charter member. That club has grown. It now has more than 500 members around the world and 4 branches. The 4 branches are the Luxuriant Flowing Hair Club for Scientists, the LFHCFS, the Luxuriant Former Hair Club for Scientists, the LFHCFS, the Luxuriant Facial Hair for Scientists, the LFHCFS, and the Luxuriant Flowing Former or Facial Hair Club for Social Scientists, or LFFFHCFSS. Please welcome, it is a great honor for us to have on our stage, the Luxuriant Flowing Hair Club for Scientists 2015 Woman of the Year, Dr. Anne Madden. And her hair.
I'm Ira Flatow, and you're listening to Science Friday from PRI. Today's Science Friday podcast is brought to you by Canary, a complete home security system in a single device. People across the world are using Canary to stop burglaries and other serious incidents. Canary's surveillance camera is complete with a wide-angle lens and night vision. You can watch your home live at any time, and Canary only records when it detects motion and doesn't stream an empty room 24/7. Canary sends you intelligent notifications when something out of the ordinary is happening at your home. Canary has a 90 decibel siren that will scare off intruders, and it pulls in local police and fire department numbers, so if you're traveling, you can quickly get in touch with the right people. Canary automatically arms and disarms when you come and go, and you can link up 4 Canary devices, so it's easy to protect homes of all sizes. Start protecting your home with Canary today for just $199. Go to meetcanary.com and use the promo code SCIENCE to get free overnight shipping. That's meetcanary.com, and the promo code is SCIENCE. Canary, smart home security for everyone.
And a round of applause for Dr. Madden's hair. And now it's time for the win a date with a Nobel laureate contest. Here's Karen Hopkin to tell us about our laureate.
Thank you, my chimichanga. This year, Win a Date has a special treat for you. Instead of getting one laureate, you'll be taking home two. Carol Greider and Jack Szostak shared the 2009 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine for their work on telomeres, the structures that keep the tips of our chromosomes as long and luxurious as Dr. Ann Madden's hair. These gorgeous specimens of humanity are powerhouses at work and at play. A former triathlete and proud person with dyslexia, Carol Greider enjoys practical jokes and getting calls from Stockholm while she's folding the laundry at 5 a.m. And Jack Szostak, who works at MGH, one of the finest research institutes in downtown Boston, enjoys hiking and contemplating the origins of life while sipping single malt scotch. If you are looking forward to an evening that, like a supple young telomere, goes on and on, Jack and Carol are the duo for you. Please give a doubly warm win-a-date welcome to Carol Greider and Jack Szostak.
All right, so you understand it's a package prize this year, a special deal for our 25th ceremony. Now let's see which lucky audience member will win a date with this pair of Nobel laureates. When you entered the hall, you were handed an attractive printed program. Pick up that printed program. Turn to page 7. Turn your program to page 7. If your program contains a photo of DNA scientist James Watson putting his foot into his mouth, then you have won a date with this pair of Nobel laureates. Please come and claim your prize.
The awards are presented by the editors of the science humor magazine, Annals of Improbable Research. And this year, they've gone digital. Yeah, you can find out about getting an e-subscription at improbable.com. We need to take a break. We'll be right back with more from Sanders Theater in just a moment. Stay with us. This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, and we now return you to Harvard Sanders Theater for more highlights from this year's Ig Nobel Awards ceremony.
And now it's time for the second and final round of the 24/7 lectures. The next 24/7 lecture will be delivered by a professor of genetics at Harvard Medical School, a 2009 Nobel laureate in physiology or medicine, who is researching how to make life from scratch using basic chemical building blocks. Jack Szostak. His topic, life. First, a complete technical description of the subject in 24 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
The first protocells use non-enzymatic chemical processes to replicate ribonucleic acid templates by primer extension using 2-methyl-5'-phosphorimidazole activated nucleotide monomers. To understand and improve this process, we look at monomer binding by nuclear magnetic resonance spectroscopy, X-ray crystallography, and study reaction kinetics using synthetic substrate analogs, kinetic isotope effects, quantum mechanical modeling, and molecular dynamics.
And now a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go.
Life from chemistry. How did it happen?
The final 24/7 lecture will be delivered by an assistant professor at the Indiana University Media School who recently published a study about people who watch cat videos online. Jessica Gal Myrick. Her topic, internet cat videos. first, a complete technical description of the subject in 24 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
My study called emotion regulation procrastination and watching cat videos online. Who watches internet cats? Why? And to what effect? Published in the journal Computers and Human Behavior, provided empirical data on predictors and effects of consuming audiovisual feline-focused media. Mood management theory successfully predicted respondents' reports that post-consumption emotions were more positive than pre-consumption, and the experience also left viewers feeling energized. A moderation mediation model demonstrated that guilt from using online felines to procrastinate could be overcome by the positive emotional payoff of viewing this genre.
And now a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go.
Grumpy cat can actually make us happy.
The Biology Prize. Which probably was supposed to have had a musical fanfare. The Biology Prize. Which may have had a musical fanfare. The Ig Nobel Biology Prize is awarded to Bruno Grossi, Omar Larac, Mauricio Canals, and Rodrigo A. Vasquez of Chile, and Jose Iriarte Diaz of Chile and the US for observing that when you attach a weighted stick to the rear end of a chicken, the chicken then walks in a manner similar to that in which dinosaurs are thought to have walked.
Well, now we know that if we put together a plunger with a chicken, we got
a duster!
No, a dinosaur!
Thank you very much.
The Diagnostic Medicine Prize. The Ig Nobel Prize for Diagnostic Medicine is awarded to Diala Karim of Canada and the UK, Anthony Harnden of New Zealand, the UK and the US, Nigel D'Souza of Bahrain, Belgium, Dubai, India, South Africa, the US and the UK, Andrew Huang of China and the UK, Abdel Kader Alouni of Syria and the UK, and Helen Ashdown, Richard J. Stevens, and Simon Kreckler of the UK for determining that acute appendicitis can be accurately diagnosed by the amount of pain evident when the patient is driven over speed bumps.
Dear sir, this is our proudest day. But first of all, we'd like to say we'd never have achieved this perk without the other author's work. And so that no one else is missed, we've brought along a thank you list. Our mums and dads, let's not forget, I hope you're watching on the net. And all our cats.
Meow.
And Auntie Jane.
Dear God, I've got this awful pain. I feel like I'm about to die. Farewell, cruel world. I bid you goodbye.
Hey, dogs, you fools. Don't hang about. Come and help us out. Just what the hell is wrong with him? Please tell us, is the outlook grim? Is it a heart attack? Is it a brain disease? Appendicitis, could it be?
It could be that. Now, let me see.
But how? Without a CT or an ultrasound or an X-ray, man?
Just read our paper. Then you'll know that speed bumps are the way to show. Just drive him quickly up a hump. You know the pain will make him jump. Appendix cases that we sent were sensitive at 97%. It really is the simplest test, though specificity's not the best.
The Medicine Prize. The Ig Nobel Prize for Medicine this year is awarded jointly to 2 groups, to Hajime Kimata of Japan and China, and to Yaroslava Duridakova of Slovakia, the US and the UK, Peter Selek of Slovakia and Germany, Natalia Kamadiova, Tatiana Sedlakova, Gabriela Rapiska, Barbara Svianzienia, and Gabriel Minarek of Slovakia for experiments to study the biomedical benefits or biomedical consequences of intense kissing, and other intimate interpersonal activities. Please welcome the team from Slovakia.
Thank you all. You could imagine this was a really, really hard work. In the past, we have shown that men have menstrual cycle, and children with a high IQ have a very low testosterone, and that even drinking cola makes your glucose lower. But okay, the jury has chosen our kissing experiment. It's probably more exciting. We actually found out that after kissing in female saliva, the male DNA can be found even up to after 1 hour.
And I must say that our first author, Natalia, she's getting married on Saturday. So you can imagine she actively participated in this experiment. So they ended up marrying each other. So perfect. I'm happy that we connect people together and we are expert in kissing now. So if you have any troubles, just ask us. Okay, thank you.
And live long and prosper.
The Physiology and Entomology Prize. The Ig Nobel Physiology and Entomology Prize is awarded jointly to two individuals, to Justin Schmidt of the USA and Canada for painstakingly creating the Schmidt Sting Pain Index, which rates the relative pain people feel when stung by various insects, and to Michael L. Smith of the USA, the UK, and the Netherlands for carefully arranging for honeybees to sting him repeatedly on 25 different locations on his body to learn which locations are the least painful, the skull, the middle toe tip, and the upper arm, and which locations are the most painful, the nostril, the upper lip, and the penis shaft. Here is Justin Schmidt.
I've spent much of my career studying stinging insects, looking for the evolution of sociality. Okay, but is it really fun? Are these creatures really nice? I think they are. So just to convince you that how wonderful stinging insects are, I wrote a little verse for you. I hope you enjoy this and it shows you just how nice they are. Zing, 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 what's that thing? Thing, 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 what's that sting? Sting, 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 what now? Now, 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 it's an owl. Ow, 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 now we howl. Howl, 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 but why? Why? To make us try. Try
please
to
stop.
Say hi.
I'm bored. Please stop. I'm bored. Please stop.
That was Justin Schmidt, and here is Michael L. Smith.
Hello, my name is Michael Smith. My research group, which is basically just me, was interested in how the painfulness of a honeybee sting would vary by body location. So we used one human subject, me, was subjected to stings from honeybees on 25 different body locations with appropriate controls, internal standards, and replicates. Now, you've already mentioned the three most and least painful places. I should incidentally thank two Cornell police officers for having not passed by at the right moment, because then they would have seen me in a little bit of an awkward situation. But all the different places that are... Oh, hello.
Please stop. I'm bored. Please stop.
Sweetie Pooh, I stung myself for you.
Please
I did this for you. Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, and you're listening to Science Friday from PRI.
Viruses. I said viruses. Here's the question. Are viruses a form of life? Most biologists insist that no, viruses are not a form of life. Why? Why do most biologists insist that viruses are not a form of life? Here are some of the world's top biologists. Speaking together, and I say speaking together, these biologists will tell us why, in their opinion, viruses are not a form of life.
As I said on this stage not that many years ago, it has to be alive. On the one hand. It has to be able to be alive.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. The Mathematics Prize. The Ig Nobel Prize for Mathematics is awarded to Elisabeth Oberzauker of Austria, Germany, and the UK, and Karl Grammer of Austria and Germany for trying to use mathematical techniques to determine whether and how Muley Ismail the Bloodthirsty, the Sharifian Emperor of Morocco, managed during the years from 1697 through 1727 to father 888 children.
When I talk about fertility, I talk to freshmen, I talk to fertility specialists. I like to ask what they think, how many copulations are necessary to lead to new life. And of course, this is a trick question because many factors play together. So we decided to approach the problem from a different angle and actually ask ourselves, what is the effort a man has to put into siring 600 sons, because that's actually the number we have a confirmation for. And it's actually a lot of work, it turns out. So Muley had to have had sex for once or twice a day, which you might actually regard as a low number. But if you think that this is, would be every day, every single day, a whole entire life, this is quite a lot.
Please stop.
Thank you.
It's time for the triumphal handshaking. Will all of the Ig Nobel Prize winners assemble behind there? They are going to emerge. All of the winners will emerge one by one through the sacred curtain there to receive a token handshake from Nobel laureate Dudley Hirschbach. Let the emerging and the shaking begin. And now, on behalf of the Harvard Radcliffe Society of Physics Students and the Harvard Radcliffe Science Fiction Association, and especially from all of us at the Annals of Improbable Research, please remember this final thought. If you didn't win an Ig Nobel Prize tonight, and especially if you did, better luck next year. Good night.
That about wraps it up for us. We're going to leave you with a selection from this year's Ig Nobel mini opera, The Best Life.
Such propriety
and such contrariety that we must take care, special care to be fair.
Be fair to the planaria and the malaria.
Let us not besmirch any perch, any birch, or any bear.
Let us use oversight. So every area,
such as Bulgaria,
will not be made to feel the sight of sight.
Prepare, partisans will declare, for bacteria are inferior, they will rule that their own should compare.
Also compare, people get snarkier with some monarchia, plants and archaea.
Archaea?
Thanks to Mark Abrams and everyone at the Annals of Improbable Research and to audio engineer Miles Smith for his help in recording the ceremonies. And if you missed any part of this program or you'd like to hear it again, yeah, subscribe to our podcast. We have audio and video ones. Or point your tablet or smartphone to our website at sciencefriday.com. In New York, I'm Ira Flatto. Have a happy holiday.
And now, get them all right here. All in a single room. Let the friendships bloom. Making schmooze, make some news. Nothing to fear. Yes, life!
Hey there, folks. Ira here. This Tuesday, December 1st, is a very special day. Why? Well, it's Giving Tuesday. All around the world, people will be giving something back. And what better time to donate to Science Friday if you haven't already? So please go to sciencefriday.com/support to join us on December 1st. And don't forget to spread the word on social media with hashtag Giving Tuesday. That's sciencefriday.com/support. And thanks.